Lions and Bills face off in an interconference showdown. I'm Adam Wright. You're listening to the Fumbleroski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumbleroski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. We have a good episode planned for you guys tonight. And to lead off, our Ruski game of the week is probably the most anticipated one we have had in quite some time. We have the Buffalo Bills, who are traveling to face the Detroit Lions, who host probably the best interconference matchup that we've had all season long. Buffalo has been, throw everything out, everything away that we said before the season started about the Bills. Everything that we said. What's that?
Except about their coach.
Sure, but he hasn't been bad enough, I think. Throw everything out that we said preseason about the Bills. We thought they would be a mediocre playoff team. Maybe they just sneak in. Josh Allen will be just good enough to get him in the playoffs. And on a down year, they're just a playoff team. And maybe in a couple years, they're back in contention. Everything we said about that was wrong. Because, yes, Josh Allen is the reason this team is winning right now. But he's not the reason they're a mediocre playoff team. He is a reason why they are 10-3 and still in contention for a high playoff seed. Like they're still technically in contention for the number one seed. The problem is that the Chiefs just keep finding ways to win games when, like, how the hell are they doing this? But we know why. We know the Bills are winning games, not just based off luck, but simply because they are willing. Their quarterback is willing their team into contention. They don't have much of a pass catching core. They have a lot of decent players. I like Keon Coleman a lot more than I thought I would like him. He's fine. He's not a wide receiver one like he was that like they expected him to be. I like Khalil Shakir. He's a 2. He's a solid player, but he's a number 2. I like Curtis Samuel. He's a secondary option. I've always liked him as a secondary option. And then you look at their tight ends, Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. That's probably the best tight end set we have in all of football, but neither of them are elite. They're both very good tight ends. They're solid tight ends. James Cook, I like him. He's a good running back. Not quite as good as his brother was, but still good. Pretty good kid. And their defense is, it's fine. They're producing on the stat sheet, but you can just tell by the eye test, they're not a great defense. They're all right. They're good. They're doing what they need to do in order to give their team a chance to win. So overall, this Bills team, again, throw everything away that we said about them. Because we thought that they would just barely make it by. They'll make the postseason, probably one and done. But now we're looking at them as a potential Super Bowl contender. So let's give credit where it's due. Because holy crap, has this team just gone beyond expectations. And we've already talked everything we needed to talk about the Detroit Lions this season. And we're not going back on that because the Lions have been kicking ass this year and they're winning the close games too. That was one thing that I was concerned about early in the season is that most of these games that they're winning, they're blowing them out. We can't really see what their close game, late game execution looks like. Because they're just blowing teams out. And they've won a couple recently. They pulled some risky moves that worked out, which we will probably talk about a lot more down the road because that could end up killing them. But they're winning the close ones, and they're also blowing teams out. And you can see that they're doing it in convincing fashion because they can win in multiple different ways. If your quarterback isn't playing well, then the rest of the team can pick you up. You can win. You can kind of win off defense and running the ball. You can definitely win off running. You have David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. If those kids pick up the pace, kind of pick up the slack for that passing offense, then you're good. If the running game can't get going, the passing game will pick it up. On defense, I still think they're a solid team. They're a little hurt, but I think they could win in a defensive rock fight. They have everything that you need in order to win a championship. The thing is, with Detroit, and this is kind of a long-winded introduction. I promise I'm finishing up. What worries me about Detroit, and this isn't really the biggest worry, is that things have gone very well. Too well. We see, as great as this Detroit team looks, do we see them finishing with just one win on the season? They're sitting there at 12-1.
One loss, but yeah.
Excuse me, yeah. One loss. Do we see it staying that way? I think they have a couple more hiccups down the stretch here. And they do have, out of the teams above 500 they have left, there's this one against the Bills. And then they also have the Vikings, who are 11-2. They're having a very good season as well. And then there's the Bears and 49ers, who have been a mess. But I think this is one of those games. The Bills are coming off a loss where they barely lost to the Rams last week. And the Lions, again, they've been flying high. The Bills, they're coming off a tough one. And I think in a duel between Jared Goff and Josh Allen, I think Allen wins this one. I'm not saying that the Lions are not the better team. I just think any given Sunday can take effect. And I think the Bills are that team that they're a really good football team. They're a Super Bowl contender. And I think the Bills are the team that ends up coming out and winning this game.
This has the potential, at least on paper, to be one of the more exciting matchups we've covered in terms of, well, you know, like I said, just expectations. I'm really praying it doesn't become a defensive rock fight. I have this awful feeling that it might, but I don't think it will. My big question for both teams is, how good are you playing from behind? I think they're okay. And this is something that Ab and I both stressed, but overall, I don't see it being too much of an issue. But so what I'm trying to say is, these two teams, it's all, I think they're pretty much evenly matched. Maybe I might give the upper hand to Buffalo, just because Detroit, we know this, they're injured. And I know they just got people like Aleem McNeil and Levi Onwuzurike back, but you got to remember, I don't care what the injury report says. They are being rushed back. The Lions know they need to win this game, and I'd bet you they're probably not at full health. Dan Campbell is definitely the type of guy who, you know, he's a good guy, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend he's above pushing people back in for a must-win game. But then again, that's not exclusive to Dan Campbell. I think that's how most coaches are. Their linebacker core with Alex Anzalone, Derek Barnes, and Jalen Reeves may have been, and even backups like Malcolm Rodriguez are all on IR. Rookie standout Ennis Rakestraw is on IR. Alex Anzalone has been on IR. Marcus Davenport, who is one of your sneakier pickups this offseason, is also, you guessed it, on IR. One of their rotational pieces on the line, edge rush specialist John Kaminsky, is, you guessed it, kids, on IR. And it's just getting to the point where it's ridiculous. You know, it's literally ridiculous. And apparently Detroit, they're literally pushing all their chips to the center with Anzalone and Hutchinson and hoping they can be back in time if they make the Super Bowl, which, I don't know, that seems like wishful thinking on my end, but whatever. Apparently, DJ Reader, they say they should expect, which is good, but either way, when we look at the Buffalo side of things, Buffalo is pretty banged up as well. Three of their starting defensive backs, Rasul Douglas, corner, and both safeties, Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp, are banged up. And there's a very legitimate chance that at least one of them is missing. And, yeah, it's literally just going to be, the way I see it, as a war of attrition. That is what I believe we're looking at. And on the offensive side of the ball, Josh Allen has shown that he doesn't need Stephon Diggs. Right? He did what most quarterbacks do, or what they should do, when they get a good wide receiver, is that they use it as a tool for development. He did it the exact opposite of Tua, because Tua, you know, he's only as good as the weapons around him. And when you gave him Tyreek Hill, that's not a developmental tool, that's a crutch. Josh Allen didn't use Diggs as a crutch, and you can see that he can function without him, and that's why I like. I'm not throwing shade at Tua. I'm just saying, like, how a lot of quarterbacks, when you take away their wide receiver one, they flop. That's not Josh Allen. He actually used Diggs as a tool for his development and not just a guy to lean on. And a lot of people may disagree with that, but those people would be wrong. And James Cook is solid. Shakir is solid. Coleman hasn't been the tire fire that I thought he is, but he's still not very good. I like the duo of Kincaid and Knox, though, and the offensive line has been solid. However, my issue, ironically, is with Detroit. How many good receivers do you have outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown? I mean, I know Tim Patrick had a splash game, but is that sustainable? Can Jameson Williams get his head out of his rear end and actually contribute, or is he destined to be a bust? Like, I don't know. And can Sam Laporta regain some of that magic from his rookie year? There's a lot more questions on offense between Buffalo and Detroit that a lot of people just apparently don't want to talk about. And that's fine. And I get it. But for me, another thing that a lot of people don't talk about is coaching. Dan Campbell is far and away the most aggressive head coach in the league. And it's great when it works, but when it doesn't, what do I always say about the Lions? All it takes is one play to completely flip the game on its ear. And we saw that last year in the AFC Championship game, how one missed fourth down when you were up by well over two or three scores, literally resulted in the Niners completely seizing momentum and the Lions choking away their lead. Could that happen again? I don't know. I don't see it getting to a three-score game between either side. But, I mean, we'll see. Then, on the other side, there's Sean McDermott, who, when Adam said, hey, you know, throw out everything we said about them, I agree, except Coach McDermott. He's not a coach that schemes you to victory. He's a coach that you win in spite of. He is Doug Peterson on the Philadelphia Eagles, right? A team where the stars are dragging the coach. That is Sean McDermott's relationship to Buffalo. And I feel that their game against the Rams proved my point beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's not a good head coach. He's okay. And I feel that the overaggressiveness of Campbell and the stupidity of McDermott leveled each other out. And overall, like, I will allude to what I said earlier, these teams are just even. And as a result, making a pick here is going to be tough. So for me, I have to go with Buffalo, solely because I think that Josh Allen can get it done. I think he's going to absolutely bully the battered Lions defense with his legs. And that's basically what I think the difference maker is going to be. He's just going to run all over them, and he's going to be able to dice up their defense and take advantage of rookies like Terrion Arnold. However, and on the other side, there's Goff, where – obviously, Allen is leagues better than Goff. I mean, Adam has mentioned his misgivings about him, and rightfully so. So that's kind of like what it is. I just think that due to Allen's more explosive ability, it probably tilts towards Buffalo, like tilt margin.
The Lions are top to bottom the most talented team between these two. I'm just saying that the Bills have it where it counts. Mm-hmm. They have the elite quarterback who's one of the best in the league. So he's the MVP favorite, which is, again, that's something I forgot to bring up because, again, they've been insane in spite of not having too much to work with on offense. And I think when you have that quarterback who can overcome some of your shortcomings, then it doesn't quite matter how much talent is on the other team. It's kind of like the Super Bowl last year. One team, the Kansas City Chiefs, had the best quarterback in football. The other team, the San Francisco 49ers, they had talent everywhere, and they were just okay at quarterback. And it was the quarterback who wound up being the deciding factor. So I think when you have that quarterback, they can make up for a lot of things. Now, the Chiefs also had a very good defense, too. That's also imperative. But do the Lions have all that special of a defense, especially since Aiden Hutchinson's gone for the season? And neither do the Bills. So that defense is out of the equation. But quarterbacks. I think quarterbacks over targets. I think offensive line over targets as well, which is – Lions do have the better offensive line, but the Bills is fine too. And they actually have the quarterback again. Like I like Jared Goff, but Josh Allen is head and shoulders, more than head and shoulders, better than Jared Goff. And he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So I think that's the X factor here. And I think he's the guy who ends up elevating your team to win this game. It's not to say that the Lions aren't the better team. I'm not saying that. I still have them going to the Super Bowl and potentially winning it as well. But in this particular game, on Sunday night on Sunday at 4:25 p.m. Eastern time on Ford Field at Detroit, give me the Bills.
Yeah, once again, Adam, I think you hit the nail on the head. QB is definitely going to be the difference maker here, and one is leaps and bounds better than the other.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe this is a potential Super Bowl preview. That would be a fun one. Bills?
Yeah.
The Bills and the Lions. Two teams.
That's what Super Bowl America wants. You know?
Two teams that have never won a Super Bowl, who have had lots of long history of failure, both of them, and they face each other, and one of them has to win the Super Bowl.
You know, once again, that is a Super Bowl America wants. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. America wants Buffalo and the Lions. Well, maybe the rest of the NFC North doesn't want the Lions. I feel like in the AFC East, at least me as a Pats fan, I can say I wouldn't hate Buffalo winning the Super Bowl. Sure, I think their fans are actually awful people, and I have proven this point many a time on the show. But honestly, I like Josh Allen. I got nothing against him.
Yeah, I think it's about time that Josh Allen wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Tom Brady was winning all the Super Bowls until Peyton Manning won one in 2006. And then Brady started winning them again, and then it was lopsided because one was better than the other. But
and now.
Yeah. All right. Next, we're going to start on our game picks. We're going to go the same way we usually do for week 15. 1 p.m. games first, then 4 p.m. primetime, and then Monday Night Football. So all of that is next. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. You're on to our 1 p.m. games for our picks. And we're going to start off with the Ravens at the Giants. This is certainly not a hard one. I'm going to the Ravens, and it's really not close. Ravens need a victory here. This is definitionally a get-right game where the Giants look like they're in contention for the number one overall pick. In fact, they're probably going to get it. Yeah, Ravens.
My fellow Americans, what if I told you that the last time Lamar Jackson lost to an NFC team, it was the New York Giants? Will history repeat itself? No, it won't. I'm not even going to play with you. It's really not. No Saquon. I mean, heck, even Danny Dierks would have been better than Tommy week-old rotten cutlets and Drew Locke, the scourge of Denver. Yeah, it's going to be the Ravens. Although if the Giants beat them again, good Lord, that would make for some funny memes. Unfortunately, I don't think that's happening.
Won't happen. But next matchup, Jets at Jaguars. The Jaguars coming off a win. It was a win. They won the game. We don't need to talk about how both teams failed to score more than 16 points combined between them and the Titans. But this week, we may get a little bit more of that. And in a weird way, and not a weird way, in the worst way possible, this is going to be a competitive matchup. Like the worst way possible. You have washed up Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't look like he belongs on a football field anymore. In the worst organization in all of sports, in the New York Jets, facing the Jacksonville Jaguars, who it seems like every other year they're in contention with the number one overall pick, and they have Mac Jones starting. Give me the Jaguars. I think Mac Jones, he has a little bit to prove. It was an ugly win last game, but they won. And winning, listen, it's all relative. I think Mac Jones will play better. And he has, I mean, Brian Thomas is probably the best weapon that he's ever had in his entire career. In fact, it is. So yeah, give me the Jaguars, and not in a good way, because both these teams blow.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Mac Jones is undefeated against the Jets.
I'm completely forgetting who was starting on the final week.
I believe it was Zappy.
You might be right then.
So obviously that's not anything empirical. I'm just joking around. But the Jets are a team where I know I say this every week about X team. Oh, the wheels are coming off. But the Jets, the wheels have already come off of this vehicle. The steering wheel has come detached. The windshield wipers have flown off. You have no more mirrors. Your engine's gone. Like, they've just completely fallen apart. And just the absolute drama in the locker room that we are seeing is peak Jets. I have to go to Jacksonville just because I just think they have the chip on their shoulder and Mac Jones has something to prove. Meanwhile, the Jets have just regressed entirely. And if you looked at their body language these past few weeks, that's a team that just wants the season to be over so that Aaron Rodgers can go make out with Pat McAfee during a darkness retreat or something. It's pretty much it.
Yeah. All right, next one. We're not spending any more time on that one. Next one, Cowboys, Panthers. So Cowboys visiting the Panthers. Cowboys are sitting at 5-8. They were supposed to be a lot better than they were. A lot of it has to do with injuries. Some of it has to do with the fact that they're just the Cowboys. And they probably should have moved on from Mike McCarthy a long time ago, their head coach. I don't even think they should have committed long-term to Dak Prescott. But you know what? Bryce Young is the reason that Panthers fans can probably sleep a little better at night after that one trade they pulled a couple years ago with the Chicago Bears to give away not only a wide receiver one, but two first-round picks And also passing up on CJ Stroud for this kid. He's playing better. And he's, as we mentioned in New England about Drake May, he is a beacon of hope now for the Carolina Panthers if he continues to improve. And listen, over the offseason, they got to get him some weapons. But he's playing better. And I think against a funky Cowboys team that just doesn't seem to be able to get out of their own way, give me the Panthers on this one.
The Bryce Young turnaround has been really nice. It's just too bad they don't have a lot anywhere else. Ain't that right, Xavier Leggett? We all saw that play. Heartbreaker, but it happens. Kudos for the refs for spotting it, though. That was not something I think most people could spot. But the Cowboys.
That was a beautiful throw, too.
That really was, too. You got to give Bryce all the credit in the world, too. But like I said, I'm really
some of the throws he has made, man.
Mm-hmm. The issue is, for Dallas, they're another team where I said about the Jets, just drama, nonstop, where they're at each other's throats. And heck, we saw Micah Parsons storm off the field after that failed block punt. And not to mention, then you got Micah Parsons huffing and puffing on his podcast, which, by the way, he cares more about than, you know, football. And when you combine that together, and it's in Carolina, and how the Cowboys are a team that's just driftless, rudderless, and Mike McCarthy's seat is searing, give me the Panthers. However, Paul, I want to retract that searing comment, because apparently it's no guarantee that Mike McCarthy gets fired. I don't know if you heard that, Adam, but they legitimately might keep Mike McCarthy. Of course, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it on Black Monday or the day after Black Monday, but that would be
very stupid. That, yeah.
That'd be stupid if they kept him. And the fact that they actually might is so Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. Moving on. Cowboys, Commanders, Saints. Commanders will be visiting the Saints. The Saints have played better football lately, but mainly that's because Derek Carr looks like himself. Problem is, Derek Carr is out for the year.
Yeah, he broke his hand, right?
Yeah, meaning what the hell do the Saints actually have to play for now? I mean, they're not – they don't really have much. I mean, their running back is aging. The Chris Olave is – he's that meme of the Ferrari and the right next to the apartment. He's just there. So Commanders are going to win another game.
Mm-hmm. And do you know who they're going to start? Jake Haener, the man with the zestiest zeitgeist this side of the Mississippi. However, I mean, you all know what I'm referring to. Those rookie pictures of him are just... oh, they're good for a chuckle. But come on. Come on. It's going to be the Commanders. Jaden Daniels should pick apart that defense. You know, Terry McLaurin's going to have himself a day. Also, kids, Marshawn Lattimore revenge game. Oh, boy. That's what we forget about. Oh, yeah, Marshawn Lattimore.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, Marshawn Lattimore, I think, is good for a pick. You know, the script demands it, Adam. But overall, the Saints, I know if you really want to split hairs, technically speaking, they have a path to the playoffs. But since Adam's a Lord of the Rings fan, I'll use this reference, that path goes right through Mordor. It ain't happening. Honestly, yeah. Oh, see, he's impressed. He's mildly impressed, knowing that I don't know jack or crap about it. But come on.
Not bad.
If you think about it, you don't have anything to play for if you're the Saints. Adam hit the nail right on the head. Give me the Commanders.
All right. Enough on this matchup. It feels like everyone's just a shit show. Bengals-Titans. So it will be in Tennessee. And the Titans at 3-10 are in contention for a very, very high draft pick. In fact, currently they're sitting at 6th. The problem is the Bengals have played a lot of games where it feels like they need to win. Not only that they need to win, they should win. And they don't come through. With that in mind, Will Levis has improved his play drastically in the past month and a half. I think that's important. And the Bengals' defense has been just that bad. And you can pretty much book it that Joe Burrow's going to throw another three touchdowns, probably another 350 yards. The guy's going to throw for over 40 touchdowns and possibly 5,000 yards at this point. But they can't get enough wins for the guy. And it's frustrating to watch. And I'm not even a Bengals fan. It's just sitting here as a football fan, when I take my Patriots jersey off and just look at it as a football fan, it is painful to watch. Joe Burrow is a very likable player. He is one of the more fun quarterbacks to watch in all of football. And he should be mentioned in the same breath as Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. He should be mentioned in the same breath as every quarterback who is mentioned as a Super Bowl contender, an MVP candidate. He doesn't get any recognition because the defense is so bad that they have a sub 500 record and they're going to miss the playoffs. It's insane. For that, I have no faith in the Bengals. They might win this game, but I'm not going to bet on it. I'm going to give you the Titans. I think the Titans come out and they pull an upset here. They're at home. The Bengals' defense sucks. Will Levis's play has improved. Give me the Titans.
Understandable, because the Titans are facing half a team. You know, that's what they are. They're facing half a team. You've got Joe Burrow and the Bengals offense, and the defense, I believe, has already moved on to Cancun. You really feel for the Bengals, don't you? Like you said, when we take off our biased Pats fan hats, you just look at it from a fan standpoint. This is criminal. This is just horrible. I don't understand. I mean, on paper, at least on paper, their defense isn't terrible. But, oh my God, they have found a way, haven't they? The thing is, though, I know the Bengals' defense is going to make Will Levis look a lot better than he actually is. But at the end of the day, it's Joe Burrow and Will Levis. I still have to go with Burrow. Part of it is, you know, you got to hold out hope. And truth be told, Burrow against the Tennessee defense, which is, if you ask me, much ado about nothing. Yeah, I think Burrow and Chase should feast again. Give me the Bengals.
You might end up being right, but I don't have faith in the Bengals anymore. They lose so many games that they need to win. So I can't pick the Bengals. I'm done with the Bengals. I'm pissed at what they are doing to Joe Burrow, and I don't think they win this game. And it sucks that it's at this point where a 40 touchdown quarterback's going to lose to a lowly 3-win team like the Titans, but here we are. All right. Chiefs Browns. Now, the only reason I'm hesitant on this one is simply because, for a couple reasons. Not only reason, so a couple reasons. I said the only reason. First of all, the Chiefs are probably the shakiest one-loss team at this point of the year. We're in mid-December. They're 12-1. This is the shakiest 12-1 team I have ever seen in my life. Now, a lot of it is credit to them because I strongly believe in what Vince Lombardi once said, which is that, and I'm paraphrasing, luck is a combination of preparation and opportunity. The problem is they have gotten so much luck going their way that you can't just say it's preparation and opportunity. This is beyond that. This is witchcraft. Somebody's doing some magic spell. There's something is going on here. The other thing that I am hesitant on here is that the Browns have upset a couple teams this year. They beat the Baltimore Ravens. And they also got the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Weren't those games both in Cleveland? Much like how this game is in Cleveland?
Yeah.
So there's that too, just lending credence to your point.
They've pulled a couple of upsets. And for that reason, do not rule out an upset here. Because the Browns have already done it. They've been giant slayers this year. But I'm picking the Chiefs. Until the Chiefs stop winning games like this, I'm not picking against them. I'm done picking against the Chiefs. That's it. They're not. I don't believe that they'll win out. But I'm still not going to bet on individually on any of these games to be Chargers losses. Chiefs losses. It just keeps happening. They keep winning, and until they lose, not betting against them.
Yeah. Jameis beating the Chiefs would be like the meme of the year, essentially. That would make for some funny content, but
That would deliver him from pick sixes.
Yeah. That's the thing. Jameis, I feel like, might play Kansas City out of the game, if that makes sense, because he's just too turnover prone. Whereas Mahomes this season, I'll give him credit where it's due. Mahomes has been a game manager for most of this year. And don't look now, but the Chiefs are actually getting healthy. They're angling to get Hollywood Brown back. Pacheco is back, or he will be coming soon.
He is back.
Okay. Last week was his first week. Yeah. They have Pacheco back. They're angling to get Hollywood Brown back. They might have him for this game. Probably not. They might. I don't know how you can pick against Kansas City because, look, I know they're saying good teams find a way to win games, and I feel like that's a very simple-minded take, but I just don't see any reason to pick against them. But if Jameis wasn't turnover-prone, I might be thinking about the Browns, but either way, you just can't bet against Mahomes. Also, for what it's worth, people, Chris has picked the Browns to win, so maybe he'll be laughing at all of us.
He might at this point. I don't even know with this season. Okay. Move on to the next game. We have the Dolphins visiting the Texans. And I'm at the point with the Dolphins where I am hesitant to even rule them out. They're already mathematically not eliminated yet, but they're far from it. And they have Tua back healthy again, and he's been playing pretty good ball overall since then. And you still have some good players in your pass-catching core. It makes it a very effective vertical passing game. And your last games after this, you have the 49ers, you have the Browns, and you have the Jets. This is the last game the Dolphins really have where I strongly believe that they have a good chance of losing. And I don't think they will. That's the thing. I think I'm very split on this game, but I think the Dolphins are going to take this one. I think the Texans have been far, far too shaky. And I think the Dolphins are starting to come into their own. And this is a rare sight, but a Tua-led team with Mike McDaniels actually playing better in the latter half of the season kind of gives me some old Brian Flores vibes from when he was the head coach. But the Dolphins are a team that I think they have a strong chance to make the playoffs this year. I really do. I think they're going to make a late season run, and maybe they go 10-7, 9-8 and sneak in with that last seed. They're not doing anything once they get there. But the fact that you get there again after the mess of a start that you had, I'm a little impressed by that. Yeah. Give me the Dolphins.
Thing is, Miami, I feel like they could go on a tear, but I feel like the stat sheet overinflates what they are. Because you got to remember, a lot of Tua's numbers, Tua is a Polynesian Matt Stafford. he waits until the game is over, and then will throw in the second half for like 200 yards and two touchdowns. He's a very good second half quarterback. And I know the Texans are shaky. I don't understand why. They have no reason to be this way, but they just are. However, Mike McDaniel only has one win against a team above 500. And to be fair, that was another Texas resident, the Dallas Cowboys. Remember last season, you know, like how the Cowboys literally did not exist when they were on the road? Yeah, that's literally Mike McDaniel's only win. And Mike McDaniel just doesn't seem to beat good teams. I say this every week. He throws his weight around and will dazzle the bad teams, but once he plays a team that's even okay, he gets the brakes beaten off him. And I said this before the show, when you take into consideration that the Miami Dolphins are a team that's fun to watch, but you can't take them seriously, McDaniel is not the head coach of a football team. He's the ringmaster of a circus. And Adam Lee looks like he disagrees, but he kind of is. In fact, there are rumors that his job might be in jeopardy. The Dolphins are to come out and say no, but, well, cool, you're just going to continue to be soft. The thing is, literally, it's Houston's record that's scaring me, and I just don't know. Plus, also, it's in Houston, and I trust their cover game more than I trust Miami's, because Miami's defense is a Frankenstein's monster of just names, big names stapled together with no real rhyme or reason. And also, that Texans pass rush is going to eat the Dolphins' offensive line for lunch. The Dolphins' offensive line is god-awful, and you're telling me Tua is actually going to have to stretch the field when you've got Danielle Hunter and Wilt Anderson absolutely wrecking him play after play after play. Pause, just in case. But I just got to go with Houston. I think this is actually going to be an ugly game, probably like 21-20, but I'm leaning Texans.
I agree, ugly game. Both teams have played ugly football this year. I just think that Tua's not going to need that much time. Again, they have the best vertical passing offense in the league. And if they need Tyreek Hill to play underneath a little bit on a few plays, then they can do that. And they're in the same way that Texans offense has been bad, their defense hasn't been up to snuff either. Like you said, this whole team has just – I'm very disappointed in this Houston offense. I was very – often the team in general – I was very high on them going into this season. I'm very disappointed that I was wrong about that. Not just about being wrong, but just the fact that it's bad football. More bad football in a bad football season. Okay. And we are actually, with that, going to move to our 4 p.m. and primetime matchups. That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. We've reached our 4 p.m. and primetime matchups, and we're going to start off with the New England Patriots, who will be visiting the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals have lost a few games in a row. They were starting to look a lot like a playoff team, but now here we are. They're 6-7. They're right now one of the worst teams in their division. If it weren't for the 49ers, they certainly would. So looking, I give the Patriots a lot better a shot than I would have a few weeks ago. Just because the Patriots offense is starting to look a little better, Drake May continues to develop. And I think Alex Van Pelt, their offensive coordinator, has learned a thing or two about the quarterback he's working with, and just he's been able to work fairly well as the season's gone on. Either way, I'm going to take the Cardinals. I think the Patriots, what's really best for them is that they kind of lose out. I wouldn't root for a team to lose games. I think tanking is good for one season, but you're at the point where this is just a silver lining. I'm not saying, yay, we're losing games, but I'm certainly looking at this and saying, if they lose, it's better for them if they win than if they win, because now you have a higher pick. And we've discussed, CJ, we've discussed a couple of trade scenarios for draft day. Let's say they don't want to get Travis Hunter. If they manage to overtake the Giants or Raiders,
trade back
for that one or two spot. There's a lot of quarterback needy teams in the latter half of that top 10. Like, let's say the Jets are at 10 or the Saints are at 11. You trade back with them and you tell them, listen, we'll trade back with you. We'll swap so that you can get your quarterback that you're looking for. All we want in return is your wide receiver one. So you tell the Saints, give me Chris Olave. You tell the Jets, give me Garrett Wilson. If you're the Patriots, that's a great scenario because you're not only getting a latter half top 10 pick to get that tackle, but you're also getting your wide receiver one, killing two birds with one stone. That's how you do it. I mean, the Bears literally did it. So don't tell me that this is an unrealistic scenario. The Bears did it a couple years ago when they traded the number one overall pick because they were committed to Fields at the time. It worked out for them very well. They got DJ Moore, an extra first round pick, and they traded back and they were able to get a tackle for who ended up being Darnell Wright. Overall, that was Ryan Poles is a pretty good GM. I just don't know if the Patriots are going to do it. But give me the Cardinals.
All right. A note about New England. I know they're like, oh, you should never root for your team to lose. If you really want them to win meaningless games just so you as a fan can feel better, then you're not really a fan. You're just selfish. That being said, give me the Cardinals. Once again, just... same song and dance every week. New England's lack of talent outside of like Christian Gonzalez and Drake May is going to hurt them. If you're in New England, you should just be rooting for Drake May to have a good game and maybe cut down on the turnovers, which to be fair, most of the turnovers aren't his fault. He's like hitting guys like right in the hands or hitting them in the numbers and they just bobble the ball right to a defender. You know, like, it keeps happening. Like, or they're not looking for the ball, or either way, just hope the team around him can, you know, keep the ball on the offense, basically, like keep possession of the ball. That's what you want. You're just looking for me to have a good game. If you're the Cardinals, you know, you're looking to win the division. So, yeah, just give me the Cardinals. Also, New England's run defense is not the best. And when you've – because they can stop the small guys. When you've – the Cardinals play bully ball with James Conner, and New England can't handle that. They cannot – for years, they have struggled to contain a power running game. And so, yeah, James Conner is going to just gobble that defense up. Also, New England, and this has been true for over a decade, scrambling quarterbacks give them fits. Like, I don't know why. Even when Belichick was there, scramblers turned into prime Vic against New England. I've never understood why. But, oh, yeah, good luck catching Kyler Murray. Give me the Cardinals.
Ravens, excuse me, that's different. Colts, Broncos. I'm going with the Broncos. And the Broncos, I'm not going to say this is a must win for them, but looking at their upcoming schedule, I think, so the Broncos are probably going to make the playoffs. In fact, I go as far as to say they most likely will. They will go to the playoffs. But this is the last probably close to a slam dunk game as it gets. You have the Colts in many different ways are struggling this season. They've been okay. They're still technically on a playoff push, but the Broncos are just rolling. And I think they're going to continue to roll. And what I'm referring to is the remaining schedule, which is they're going to be visiting the Chargers on December 19th on December 29th, they're going to be visiting the Bengals, which is a tough game in itself. Again, I don't trust the Bengals, but Bo Nix versus Joe Burrow in a shootout, that's going to be difficult. although I just picked Will Levis to win a shootout against Joe Burrow, but that doesn't mean they're not going to win any game. I'm just saying this is a tough game. That's all. Then you have the Chiefs. None of these are guaranteed wins, at least not even close to it. So I'm looking at the Colts. I think they're going to take advantage of this last kind of gimme game. And then after that, it's going to get dicey for the Broncos because they're not going to finish 12-5. Right now, if they won out, they would go 12-5 to finish the season. And they're a good team this year. They're not that good. They're not 12-5 good. They're more 11-6, 10-7 good. So this tough stretch that they're going to be facing, they may lose a game or two, which is fine. I mean, that's still good for a rookie quarterback, but just brace yourself here. Give me the Broncos.
I'm still going with Denver. From a team standpoint, I don't think it's close. I mean, sure, you got Pittman and Jonathan Taylor, but when Anthony Richardson has to throw the ball, bad things tend to happen. And the Broncos' defense is slept on. Like, it's not even funny, like, how underrated that Denver defense is. Zach Allen, Patrick Surtain, those guys. Oh, my goodness. Give me Denver. It's not even close. And the offense, I mean, don't get me wrong, the Colts' defense is solid, but I still think the Denver offense will do enough to keep the game out of reach. But I don't see Anthony Richardson doing anything against this defense. I'm not really going to sit here and belabor the point. Give me Denver. Don't really have to exert that much brain power.
Yeah, there's really nothing needed for this. Moving on to our next matchup. This is an interesting one. So we have the Buccaneers visiting the Chargers. Both teams are kind of at a point where they need to win. The Buccaneers are facing a very, very tough, a close race, I'll say, in their own division in the NFC South. And meanwhile, the Chargers, they had been on a pretty nice roll. They were 8-4. Then they lost in a heartbreaker to Kansas City. They can't lose two in a row. They need to stay in this playoff hunt. We just talked about the Broncos in their division. They're rolling, and they're probably going to continue to roll. So you need to keep pace. Chargers need this game. Buccaneers, they also need it. This is an underrated matchup. And with Mike Evans back for Baker Mayfield, this is going to be, I would say, a shootout. With that being said, I'm going to take the Chargers. I think the Chargers have the edge in coaching. The Chargers have the edge at the quarterback position. And their pass catchers are kind of growing on me. So give me the Chargers.
This is actually one of the harder to predict games. Think of it like the Goodwill version of Lions Bills. I mean, they're not quite on Lions Bills level, but they're both good teams that I think, you know, good teams that probably aren't going to win the Super Bowl, but it's still going to be a fun matchup overall. I'm expecting a decent amount of scoring. The weapons that Tampa Bay has and their health far outclass the Chargers. But the Chargers, I believe, have a superior quarterback in Justin Herbert and an infinitely superior coach in Jim Harbaugh. Also, hey, Chargers defense, that unit has, they're not world beaters, but they've taken a massive turnaround from last year. I feel like it's going to be a closer game, but I think that the definite advantage has to go to the Chargers. Once again, better QB, better coaching. That's usually the winning recipe. I mean, that's not any shade of Baker Mayfield or anything. It actually isn't Bowles, though.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's having a career renaissance, which has been nice to see.
Yeah.
He's He's continued the success that the Buccaneers previously had with Tom Brady. It's almost like a winning culture has been reestablished in Tampa, which has been kind of cool. Like Tom Brady came back. He came to Tampa. They won a Super Bowl his first year there. Then they went 13-4 the very next year. He was the runner-up in league MVP. You make the playoffs again, barely. And then the next quarterback is doing a lot of the same things. It's actually pretty cool to watch. They've somehow Tampa has turned into, dare I say, kind of a winning organization. We'll have to see it for a little longer in order for it to be really established. But so far, so good for Tampa the past 5 years, which has been cool. Again, cool to see. I want to see some more of it. But either way, I think they lose this game. But don't rule out Tampa. Tampa's been a good team. And again,
it's very possible.
You mentioned this is kind of a poor man's. This is kind of a poor man's Bills Lions, where it's two teams. They really need to win these games. It's an interconference matchup. If it weren't for Bills Lions, this would be our matchup of the week. Okay,
maybe
it would.
I personally would have gone with Eagles Steelers, but that's just me.
Well, this is your chance to pick because that was my next team. This is my next matchup to go over. Steelers visiting the Eagles. This does look like another good one. I would still pick the Buccaneers and the Chargers because, I mean, that's
understandable.
I genuinely can't tell who's winning. Also, the Steelers, they're better on offense than I thought they would be. And a lot of it is because of a career renaissance. Well, maybe I sound a little, it sounds very familiar, very similar to what we were just talking about. Career renaissances, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has had a very nice career renaissance with the Steelers. Steelers have had some pretty good pass catchers over the years. They're fucking crazy, but they have them. And George Pickens is a pretty good wide receiver one. He just needs to keep his head screwed on straight. Stay out of trouble, but he's pretty good. And they have Pat Freiermuth. Overall, I think this team is pretty good. They have some pretty good players. Problem is, I think the Eagles are a Super Bowl contender. And I think the Eagles are going to win in convincing fashion. It won't be a blowout because the Steelers' defense will keep it somewhat close, but I think it's going to be a comfortable victory for the Eagles, who are going to win yet again.
This is my big upset of the week. I'm going Pittsburgh. Because defense, man. This is a team that more or less stopped Derrick Henry. And just going on that alone, I believe that whether or not they will is to be determined. However, this is a team that does have the capability to stop Saquon Barkley. And on top of that, have you all heard what's going on in Philly? What Brandon Graham outright said about their locker room? Oh, yeah, kids, there's locker room drama in Philly again, to the surprise of literally no one. And, yeah, apparently A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts aren't exactly as buddy-buddy as the football media would like to portray them. And, I just think that's a little interesting. So that in and of itself is going to be one thing. But, Adam, you did mention before about you are skeptical of their ability to play from behind. The Steelers, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. I think the record's a little deceiving, not unlike Kansas City, but they're like a gnat. No matter how many times you swatted them, they're not going away. They're going to continually annoy you. And I wouldn't be shocked if they're up by 5 or 6 points in the fourth quarter and you're going to have to throw the ball, which is not something that I'm still confident in Philly in, which is weird because they have some really good receivers. But, I don't know. I think that it's going to be a low-scoring game because Pittsburgh's offense is nothing to write home about, and I can definitely see Cooper DeJean or Quinyon Mitchell getting under George Pickens' skin. And, you know, he's already, I don't know if you've heard, but he's apparently already a locker room nightmare. But cross that bridge, Pittsburgh. You know, you brought this on yourself. You knew exactly what you were getting when he was drafted. But overall, I am leaning towards Pittsburgh. This is my big upset pick.
The reason I still have the Eagles is because, listen, I get that this has been happening. I guess I get that A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, they had that little issue. And And Graham kind of, he pulled the curtain back and he let it be known to the public. The reason I think it's not that big of an issue, it eventually will become that large, but the reason is because it didn't just happen yesterday. There's obviously been something going on all season and they've been able to win regardless. And win in convincing fashion, I might add. There's locker room issues. I get it. That's going to become a big problem down the stretch. I don't think it'll be a problem for this game. I think it's still going to be a competitive one. And we bring up the Steelers defense. The Eagles have had an awesome defense themselves. Their front seven has been really good. Their secondary is fantastic. Still going to the Eagles, but we'll have to agree to disagree there. And okay. Yeah, this does look like a pretty good matchup. We'll see. I hope it does. I mean, that would be nice if we got some good football every now and then this season. Yeah,
especially this season.
Yeah. All right. Our final matchup of Week 15 we will be going over is we save the worst for last, the Monday Night Football game, Falcons at Raiders. The Falcons look
awful. Hold up. I think there's a game you're forgetting.
Is there? Hang on. Did I?
Vikings.
You're right. That's right. Going back here, Bears at Vikings. Here's the problem with, I think this could be a very competitive matchup. It's all going to depend on which kind of Caleb Williams we get this week. Because it's almost like we have to treat him like two different players. There's a version of Caleb Williams that's rookie Caleb Williams. Immature. Still has a lot to learn in the league. Looks like he could be something, but he has a long way to go. He's probably the least developed quarterback out of all of the four who are starting in their rookie years this season. Probably the least developed. He's the least furthest along. And I don't blame that all on him. I think a lot of that has to do with the organization. They have a long history of not being able to develop quarterbacks if they're right in front of them. And I think Caleb Williams is such a good-looking prospect that I think a lot of it is the organization's fault. I think the kid's going to be fine. But what we also see, so there's that version of him. The other version we see is the kid who actually plays really well. And we've seen a little bit of it. We've seen him throw for over 300 yards, like 270 to 300 yards a couple times. We've seen him throw for multiple touchdown passes and put his team in a position to potentially win the game. We've seen the good and the bad from Caleb Williams. It's been a roller coaster ride for him in Chicago. So which Caleb Williams we see is going to be very dependent on how this game goes. So I think we could, but either way, the Vikings are playing very good football, and something we're going to have to bring up at some point is Sam Darnold, who's playing amazing football. You talk about a guy who's completely revived his career. This was probably going to be his last job in the NFL before he would be done in the league entirely. He'd probably be on a practice squad somewhere or a third string. He wouldn't be anybody's backup. If he played bad, he's the full-time starter this year. He was given that role after J.J. McCarthy got hurt. If he ended up playing poorly, his next job would be as a backup at best, and he would stay that way. And I believe he's a free agent, correct? Coming up after the season? he's in line for a pretty big payday because he's about to throw for over 30 touchdown passes. He has a good chance at 4,000 passing yards. Good quarterback play is very hard to come by. And there are some quarterback needy teams out there who may not want to use a high draft pick on a quarterback class that's not all that good in the NFL draft in 2025. I mean, this kid has really saved himself, and it's been a great thing to see. So as far as this matchup goes, I think the Vikings take this one too. It sucks how things have turned out for the Bears. This was supposed to be a developmental year either way. And I think we've seen some progress from Caleb Williams. He's clearly not as far along as I thought he would be going into this season. But I think we're going to see some good ball from him in year two or three. So give me the Vikings.
I, once again, don't have to think too hard. It's the Vikings, and it's not particularly close. Because, obviously, you know, Darnold has been playing out of his mind. Darnold's scary there in the middle, but, oh, my goodness. The way he has played, like, 5 touchdowns last week, just insane. You would never expect Sam Darnold, of all people, to do that. And, yeah, just, it's pretty much it, basically. Caleb Williams and the Bears, I mean, technically they do have a path, but they're already eliminated from playoff contention. It doesn't matter. So this is going to be a regrouping game, I think. You know, one where you're just looking for improvement, maybe not to win. Kind of like what New England's doing against Arizona. But, yeah, give me the Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings take this one. It's really not overly close. Yeah, and, well, they'll be better in years, in upcoming years. But, all right, now, Monday Night Football. Wait, Falcons at Raiders. The
Green Bay game?
Green Bay game? How the hell do we keep missing these things? Hang on.
We.
All right.
The word.
You're right. Packers at Seahawks. Our Sunday Night Football game. And this is going to be a pretty good game. The Seahawks have been getting better and better as the season's gone on. The thing is, the Packers have been steadily, I would say they've been pretty consistent, all things considered. With the amount that they've been through, their quarterback has played hurt earlier in the season. And before that, he was actually hurt, and they had to play Malik Willis, who actually played pretty decent. In spite of all of that, they've been a decent team. That being said, I'm going to go the Seahawks. I think they're going to continue their little run here. I think they have a very complete team. Their defense has been balling out. And they have two wide receiver ones on that team. I always liked Jackson Smith and Jigba. And I always wondered why he was not playing up to snuff his rookie year.
Now, we know why.
Yeah, we know why. But now Shane Waldron, who was, boy. And he went and he warned Roma Dunze. He showed him that chart. Do you remember
Dunze did that. He
goes, watch out. Your rookie year, you may not get a lot of production. And now he's coming into his own. He looks awesome. DK Metcalf is still a wide receiver one. They still have Tyler Lockett, who's kicking around, is having quietly another good season. And Geno Smith is still a good quarterback.
True.
Give me the Seahawks on this one.
Yeah, once again, you know, not really for – I think this is a better game than it's being advertised to be. However, I have to go with the Packers. Jordan Love against this defense is going to be something. A lot of touchdowns, a lot of turnovers. I personally am here for it. But all things aside, I still question Geno Smith, especially how he can keep pace with an offense like this. So I don't know. Like I mean, I've said this before. I'm not super sold on them. So, yeah, I know it's not the most in-depth explanation in the world, but I have to go with Green Bay. Just because Smith, Ajigba, and DK are good. Once again, Geno has been up and down. The defense has been up and down. I think they're finally finding their footing. But Green Bay is playing for a playoff spot. And Seattle, I guess you could say, is too. But they're – I don't know. I just think Green Bay is the better team.
They might be. But I think the Seahawks have a lot more to work with. They have a lot. They have a lot more to fight for, because they have Geno Smith, who has had a chip on his shoulder the past few seasons. They wrote to him, didn't write back. But yeah. All right. Now, Monday Night Football, Falcons at Raiders. I don't know how that got messed up twice, but. It never happened. Here we are. Monday Night Football, Falcons, Raiders. The Falcons are in a spot where they could easily save their season by one small decision. I say small as in it's just simple. It's easy. Do it. It's everyone and their mother can make this choice. Bench Kirk Cousins, your 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles tear, for your rookie first round pick who actually has looked pretty good in preseason, in training camp. All reports say the kid looks like everything that he was drafted to be. Put him in the damn game. They keep saying, oh, but they're in a playoff push. They don't want to mess it up. The guy who's in is messing it up. Kirk Cousins is screwing you over. In the last four games, he's thrown no touchdowns and 8 picks. Do the obvious thing and save your season. Give me the Falcons. Because even if they start Kirk Cousins, they're still going to beat the Raiders. But, I mean, nothing's guaranteed at this point because he has played that bad. So that you can't even rule out a possible upset here. But I think it's going to be ugly. Even if Kirk Cousins is starting, give me the Falcons.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I want to bet against the Falcons, but you have to take into consideration the Raiders are starting. Oh, my God. I just realized it's a revenge game for Desmond Ridder. The Raiders are starting Desmond Midder himself. Good Lord. I just don't think it matters. This is one of those things. I always say how talent really might not be everything, but the Raiders are just void of talent except for like Max Crosby and Nate Hobbs, maybe Colton Miller. But yeah, the Raiders are another team where it's just done. You're playing to get Shedeur Sanders in the draft. That's basically it. And by the way, folks, for those keeping track at home, Chris picked the Raiders because Chris.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's all the scheduled content we have for today. And I know that because I checked, and I did not miss a game. But we have anything else before we end the show tonight?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah. Bill Belichick going to UNC is pathetic. I'm sorry, it is. UNC versus Duke is a basketball rivalry. You beat Duke. Oh, my God. Dude. You are one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and you have stooped this low. This is just sad. This is sad to see. They're making him say beat Duke, and he answered. They're making him say beat Duke, which was it's a basketball rivalry, and you're answering to some boss named Bubba. Give me a break. It sucks. I really wanted to see Belichick hold his own after Brady. But what are we going to do at this point? There's nothing that you can really look at and say, yeah, this is a positive. His coaching has been fine. I don't think the guy has lost anything. As far as his mental capacity, he looks like he's sharp as a sword. But I think his ego gets in the way so much. You can just give away control to somebody else in the front office and you're fine. Somebody would have picked you up last offseason. And here you are. In order to get full control, you took on a job that is much more well known for basketball. Give me a freaking break.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Keep in mind about how like a lot of coaches apparently, or like how a lot of teams literally were not even going to talk to him. That's why he took the job. So really, you're telling me the Chicago Bears and Cincinnati Bengals of all teams aren't going to talk to Bill Belichick? That's just organizational ineptitude. Then again, I don't expect anything more from like Virginia McCaskey and Christ almighty Mike Brown.
All right, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Fridays at 5. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.